Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning? Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
If you're glad to be here, raise your hand. Okay, well, at least three quarters of you raised your hand, so that's good. Well, welcome. We are so grateful for the fact that you've chosen to worship with us today. And if you are a guest, when you came in this morning, you should have received an information packet. And inside that packet's a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be so helpful to us. Hopefully you received a bulletin as well. Hopefully everyone else got a bulletin as well. So take and open it up, and let's kind of see what's going to be happening. Right after our morning service this morning, we are having our church family dinner. And by the way, if you are a guest with us this morning, we want to invite you to stay and just join dinner for us. You don't have to worry about the fact that you didn't bring anything to contribute. That's what the church family is all about. And so we brought the dinner. You just stay and enjoy some of the food and fellowship with us. So I hope you, those of us in our church family, brought enough for us to be able to share. So on Wednesday at 12 noon, we have our joy lunch at Goodwood on entertainment. And so if you have the time to be able to be there, come and join us for lunch. It's just a great time. Great time of just conversation, great time of food, and so it's just great. Thursday night is Awana, and last week we had our very first Awana night. Last Thursday, we started out on a very good note. And so there's only one place to keep going, right? And that's up every single week. And so we're just so excited about that. Also, next Sunday, Sunday school begins. And Sunday school goes from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. We have classes for all ages. So hopefully you've been looking forward to when that's going to get started. So just wanted you to be able to know that. In the bulletin, there's also a way for you as a church family to be able to help out Awana. Not going to say a whole lot about that. You can all read. And so, but this would be a great big help for every single one of us. Lots of other announcements in the bulletin. I just want to leave you with a prayer request. So I visited with Amy Henning just a couple of days ago. She's still waiting for some test results from her latest surgery. And so just continue to be in prayer, because until those test results come in, they have no idea of where further treatment and further procedures need to go. So she's kind of anxious about hearing those results. But the doctor did say, from every indication on the past test, since her surgery, she is cancer-free. So God has answered our prayers on Amy's behalf. Isn't that great? Isn't that good? Well, I'm so glad that you are here. I hope that you are glad that you're here. You ready to worship? Ready to praise God? Amen. Let's get after it.
Would you all stand with me this morning?
Oh, I forgot something. Okay, go ahead and have a seat. Okay, we have a birthday today. And you know what happens when you have a birthday on Sunday here at Lake Hazel Bible Church? Unless you play hooky, you get sung to. So Amy McElaw has a birthday today. So Amy, stand up. Let's sing happy birthday to Amy.
Happy birthday.
I asked her before the service if we could do that, and she said yes. So she tells you otherwise, you'll know the real story. Okay? All right? So if you see her sometime after the service, just personally, make sure that you wish her a happy birthday. Now, worship team, let's go.
All right. Would you all stand with me this morning? We're going to get started. If you don't know these songs, then just read the words with us. Praise the Lord from your heart. All right?
You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Though darkness fills the night, it cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield. Though troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. the one who reigns forever. He is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me. Yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Oh, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side. All I once held dear, build my life upon. All this world reveres and wards to own.
Go ahead and be seated if you'd like.
All I once thought gain, I have counted loss. Spent and worthless now compared to this. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours, to possess by faith what I could not earn, all-surpassing gift of righteousness. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord. Oh, to know the power of your risen life, and to know you in your suffering, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so with you to live and never die. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, greater thing. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteous, you're my all. You're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. Yes, you're my all, you're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. And I love you, Lord. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When mortal time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forever an angel song. Could we within the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man ascribed by trade to write the love of God above, would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
Please be seated as we continue this morning. God is so good, amen? Yes, we sang a song last week for the first time. It's called The Lord Will Provide. We're going to sing it again today. And as we go through life and we experience the difficulties, the hardships, we just talked about Amy Henning and praise God for cancer-free, but there's still test results. There's still the unknown. We know that our God is not empty-handed, and he gives us blessings upon blessings. We're still believing, and we know that the Lord will provide.
Thank you. at the flowers and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder, I know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? You're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear of tomorrow and what it will bring. If I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing, I know the Lord will provide. Everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it. Everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures, everything else it will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed. He gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing, I know the Lord will provide. I know the Lord will provide. Yes, I know the Lord will provide.
Our ushers are going to take this morning's offering, and I had a song suggestion from someone in our congregation. She sits in the front row. She's in my family, and her name is Claire. So here it is.
But other than that, her name will remain anonymous.
Yeah, anonymous, yeah. So if you have suggestions, let me know.
As the sun comes up, Lord, I see you. As the wind blows on my face, Lord, I feel you. As the sun comes up, Lord, I see you. As the wind blows on my face, Lord, I feel you. Sometimes I don't know what you say when my heart wants to praise. And I have concluded of you that I barely know anything about you at all. Cause Lord, if you showed me a thousand things brand new about you every day, I still would never see the fullness of your glory. And Lord, if you gave me a thousand years to try to count up all the ways that you have shown to me that you are just not enough, you are too much. As the river flows, Lord, I hear you. As the rain falls on my face, Lord, I feel you. As the river flows, Lord, I hear you. As the rain falls on my face, Lord, I feel you. Sometimes I don't know what to say when my heart wants to praise, and I have concluded of you that I barely know anything about you at all. Cause Lord, if you showed me a thousand things brand new about you every day, I still would never see the fullness of your glory. Lord, if you gave me a thousand years to try to count up all the ways that you have shown to me that you are just not enough, you are too much. I know you know me better than I know myself, but I want to know you even though I know my mind can't hold it all. Cause Lord, if you showed me a thousand things brand new about you every day, I still would never see the fullness of your glory. Lord, if you gave me a thousand years to try to count up all the ways that you have shown to me that you are just not enough, you are too much.
Thank you. Has God already shown you some things about himself today? Yeah. Keep looking. He's probably going to show you more. Great request, Claire. Thank you so much for that. All right. Children, come on down and we'll get you sent off to Children's Church. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for reminding us that you show us yourself. Father, even though we can't hold on to it, even though sometimes we can't comprehend it, you still show us yourself. And Father, as your word is opened unto us, whether it's in Children's Church or here in the sanctuary, Father, I pray that you will show us yourself. And Father, I pray that our eyes will be open. I pray that our hearts will be open. I pray that our lives will be open to be able to receive what you have for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go and have a great time. While they're being dismissed, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Joshua chapter 24. This is the last message in our series of study in Joshua. And I think maybe I saved the best for last. Or maybe God did. I don't know. But anyway, it's hard to believe that we're at the end of the book of Joshua. And we have learned so much from this valuable book. And It's kind of like for me saying goodbye to an old friend, you know, because I've been studying it and studying it over and over again. But you know, this morning we have to come to this realization that life is about choices. Have you understood that? In fact, this morning, all of us here have already made several choices that will impact how this day turns out. For many of us, the morning began with the choice of whether or not to get out of bed when the alarm clock went off. I'm glad you all made the right choice. And then that choice led to a whole string of other choices. Am I going to take time to read my Bible and pray? What am I going to eat for breakfast? Am I going to go to church today? I'm glad you made the right choice in that one. Which route am I going to take to get to church? Because that one could have been a little more difficult when almost every road between your home and the church could be under construction here in the Treasure Valley. But every day, we have a string of those moment-by-moment choices that impact on how our day is going to turn out. We also have larger-than-life choices that also have a tremendous influence on our lives. And every one of those choices has an impact on what our life is going to look like. So it's important for us to make wise choices. Here in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua presented the people of Israel with a choice. Now remember, they had just conquered and possessed the land of Canaan. Joshua is advanced in years and he's about to die. So he gathers the entire nation together for one last message before he leaves them. And he tells them they have a choice to make. Will they continue to follow God, who helped them regain that land, or do they chase after other gods, little g? It's an important question, which not only did the people of Israel have to answer, but as we're going to see over and over again this morning, it's a question you and I must answer as well. So let's look at Joshua chapter 24, where this choice is set before all of us. So hopefully by now you found Joshua chapter 4. Follow along as I read verse 1. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. So you get the picture? Joshua gathered everybody together at Shechem. Now Shechem is a very important place in Israel's history. It was the first place in the promised land to which God led Abraham. And we see that in Genesis chapter 12. It was the first place to which Jacob had returned to after running away home from home. We see that in Genesis 33. And it was the first place to which Joshua led the nation after their initial victories in the promised land. We saw that in Joshua chapter 8, from which they went out to conquer the rest of the land that God had given them. Now they've gathered in this very special place. I'm going to start reading in verse 2, and I'm going to read down through verse 13. Follow along. And Joshua said to all of the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates. Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac. And to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. And I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. And I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it. And afterward I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. And you lived in the wilderness a long time, 40 years. And then I brought you to the land of the Amorites who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you and I gave them into your hand and you took possession of their land and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you. And also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards you did not plant. So Joshua, as he's got them gathered here in Shechem, he reminds them of all that God has done for them from Abraham to the present time. God brought Abraham there. God brought Israel out of Egypt. God brought them through the Red Sea. God helped them overcome their enemies. And God provided them a land for which they did not work. God did all of that. The God of angel armies did all of that. And all they had to do was trust God and enjoy all that he has provided. You think there's a lesson there for us? God has done so much for us, and all he desires is that we trust him and enjoy all that he has provided. So this decision that Joshua is now going to ask the nation of Israel to be able to make is a two-parted decision. So here's the first part. He says to them, remember God's faithfulness. Joshua instructs the Israelites to keep in their minds and heart all that God has done for them. And you know what? We need to be instructed from time to time to keep in our minds and hearts what God has done for us. And what's the greatest thing that God has done for us? He's provided for us a Savior from sin. God has done that for us. When Jesus died on the cross, he declared, "It is finished. The work of God's redemption is done. The sin debt is paid in full. There is nothing left for you and me to do but to believe in him as Savior and live in all that he has provided for us. God has done it for you. God has done it for me." And 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us he's done it for the whole world. He's done that. And we need to enjoy it. We need to trust God and enjoy all that he has. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." A couple words here I want us to focus in on. The word "in" has blessed us in Christ. How do we get to be in Christ? By believing in him as Savior. You say, "Pastor, that's pretty simple." You're right. It's pretty simple. Those blessings, those spiritual blessings, are ours, not because of what we've done. We didn't earn them. We didn't work for them. But we enjoy them because of what Jesus has done for us. And we believe in him as Savior. But he has blessed us in Christ with every. What does the word "every" mean? It means all. So class, does all mean all? Yes. Every spiritual blessing. He doesn't withhold any spiritual blessing from any one of us who believe in him as Savior. They are ours to be able to enjoy. Just like the Israelites, they didn't work for anything. They trusted God. God provided, and they were able to enjoy all that the promised land had for them. We didn't work for our salvation. We didn't work for God's redemption. Jesus did it all for us, and we can enjoy all that that brings with us. Remember all that God has done for you, and let it change the way you live your life each day. Here's the second part of that twofold decision. Remain faithful to God. Choose to follow God and only him. Live your life fully and completely for God. This is what Joshua challenges Israel to do. I'm going to pick it up in verse 14, and I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. "Now therefore, fear the Lord." I'm going to stop there for a moment. This word "fear" isn't the word for tremble. It isn't the word for being scared. It's not the hair that stands up on the back of your neck or on your arm. It's not the fear from riding a roller coaster or watching a scary movie, hearing a strange noise. It's not that kind of fear. This kind of fear in the Old Testament is talking about reverence. And the word reverence in the Hebrew means keeping God in his proper place, not bringing him down to that which is common. Now, therefore, Joshua says, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served, little g, beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Wow. Look at verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua calls the nation of Israel to make a choice. Serve the Lord or serve useless idols. Why is he giving them this decision? Because you can't serve both. Serve the Lord or serve the useless idols, because you cannot serve both. You cannot serve God and anything else. You get that? You cannot serve God and anything else. You cannot serve God and idols. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and pleasure. You cannot serve God and power. So Joshua says, make a choice. And God is saying to us this morning, I believe through what Joshua is instructing and challenging the nation of Israel to do, he's telling us the same thing. Make a choice. Either serve God or serve something else. Because you can't serve both. One or the other. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. The choice was theirs. So now that they've been confronted with Joshua challenging them to make a decision, what kind of a decision then did they make? Look at verses 16 through 18. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. Look at verse 18. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Okay, Joshua, we get it. Thanks for the reminder. Thanks for going back and rehearsing our history for us. And because we now are standing here and we realize that this is what God has done for us, we're in. We're going to make the right decision. We're going to serve God. The Israelites respond in an expected way. We will serve the Lord because of all he has done for us. I mean, he delivered us from slavery. He preserved us in the wilderness, and he helped us overcome our enemies. Wow, you would think that Joshua, the leader of the nation of Israel, would say, good job. All right, way to go. That's what I wanted to hear. That's what I'm hoping that you would be able to say. Look at Joshua's response, verses 19 and 20. But Joshua said to the people, you're not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. Joshua warns the people about not keeping their word. Now, why would Joshua do this? Why would he have this kind of response? Because they are making a commitment to serve God, ignoring the temptation that would come for them to chase after foreign gods. Remember, they did not drive all of the nations out of the land of Canaan, as God had instructed them to do. Some of the Ites are still living in there, and some of the Ites do not believe in God. They do not trust God. They do not believe in the coming Messiah. They have their own gods. They have their own idols. They have their own places of worship. They have their own rituals of worship. And Joshua is saying to them, listen, if you chase after them, God's not going to do good to you. The things that God has done for you, he's not going to do any longer. They will be tempted to be able to chase after these foreign gods. How does Joshua know that? Because they already had idols in their tents. Look at verses 21 through 23. And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." Did Joshua know these people that God had given to him to be able to be the leader of? Yes, he did. Did he know where their hearts were? Yes, he did. Did he know that they already had idols in their tents that they were looking more towards than they were to God, the Creator God? Yes, he did. And he says, "Listen, go and put away your foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." Joshua calls them out and tells them to put away their idols if they really mean what they say. And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." It says it in verse 24. And the people declare, "We do mean it. We will serve the Lord." Now watch what Joshua does with Israel's declaration, verses 25 through 28. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and put in place statutes and rules for them at Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up there under the terebinth tree that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord that he spoke to us. Therefore it shall be a witness against you, lest you deal falsely with your God." So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his own inheritance. To solidify their commitment, Joshua said, "Okay, this is what you need to do." They said, "We're going to do it." Joshua said, "Listen, you better be careful what you're saying, because God's going to hold you accountable for what it is that you're saying." And they said, "No, we're going to do this. We're going to serve the Lord." And Joshua said, "Okay, then go back to your tents, go back to your homes, go back to your places of dwelling, and get rid of those foreign gods. Get rid of those idols." And what did they say? "We will do it. We will serve the Lord." So Joshua solidifies their commitment. He writes it down, sets up a stone to remind them of their commitment, and sends them home to get rid of their idols. Joshua urges Israel to dedicate their lives fully and completely to the Lord, to remain faithful to God, because he's been faithful to them. And that is what the Bible instructs us who are believers to do. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." God expects every single one of us to put away the things that we idolize, that we adore, that we choose to serve more than him. More than him. And I don't think I have to define for you what it means to put something in front of God. That's really not my place. That's the Holy Spirit's place. And if he's speaking to you this morning and you know there's some things that have come into your life that have become an idol, that keeps you from really being who God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do, I think he might be prompting you to put it away. So put it away. Put it away. Get rid of it. Don't go back to it. Lay it aside. And if that means taking something that means a whole lot to you, that you have used as an idol, that means you collecting it all and you putting it in the trash or you destroying it in a fire, whatever it is that God is directing you to do, you need to do it. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to" who? The idols? To the false gods? To the little g? No. "Holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." And by the way, in view of God's mercy, is there any other choice? In view of God's mercy, is there any other choice? In view of God's mercy, is there any other choice? You know the answer to that. And if you don't, listen to the Holy Spirit, because I think he's telling you how to answer that. When you don't know what to do, remember God's faithfulness to you. Then remain faithful to him. When you don't know what to do, remember God's faithfulness to you. And then remain faithful to him. Almost 200 years ago, there were two brothers in Scotland named John and David Livingstone. John decided he wanted to make a lot of money in life. So that's what he did. He dedicated himself to making money and he became very wealthy. But under his name in an old edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica, John is listed simply as the brother of David Livingstone. And who was David Livingstone? He was one of the greatest missionary explorers who ever lived. He explored the continent of Africa, sharing the news about Jesus everywhere he went. He became famous in the 1800s, and people still talk about the great things he did today. You see, while John had dedicated himself to making money, David dedicated himself to serving the Lord. Surrendering himself to Christ, he resolved, I will place no value on anything I have or possess unless it is in relationship to the kingdom of God. On his 59th birthday, David Livingstone wrote, my Jesus, my King, my life, my all. I again dedicate my whole self to thee. Israel said, after Joshua said, as for me and my house, the decision's clear. We're going to serve the Lord. And the nation of Israel said, we're going to serve the Lord. They said it more than once. Did Israel follow through on the commitment they made to God and to Joshua? I got bad news. They did not. Did they remember God's faithfulness? I got the same news. They did not. Did they remain faithful to God? They did not. Judges chapter 2. Judges is the book that follows Joshua. Shortly after Joshua is dead and gone from this earth, God has taken Joshua to heaven. Here's what it says in Judges chapter 2 about the people of Israel. And the people of Israel, starting in verse 11, and the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. Baals were false gods, little g's. Man, how long did that take for them to, biblically it took a couple chapters, right? Took a short period of time for them to go from we will serve the Lord to, we're going to chase after other gods. We're going to do evil in the sight of the Lord. Look at verse 12. And they abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. Remember, they said to Joshua, thank you for rehearsing all of this history for us. We now know that there's no question that God did all of this for us. And what does verse 12 in Judges chapter 2 say? They abandoned the Lord, the God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt. They went after other gods from among other gods of the peoples who were around them and bowed to them. And they provoked the Lord to anger. Why? They didn't fulfill their commitment. Even though Joshua had wrote it down, even though that Joshua had placed the stone as a memorial, and all they had to do was go back to that stone, all they had to do was go to the book of the law and read what it is they had committed before Joshua to be able to do for the Lord, they abandoned it. Look at verse 13. Listen to verse 13. They abandoned the Lord. Twice it tells us. They what? They abandoned the Lord. Have you ever been abandoned? It's not a good feeling. They abandoned the Lord and served the Baals and the Ashtaroth. Then we go to the last book of, or the last chapter of the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, in some of the saddest words that could be written about the nation of Israel are found in Judges 21:25. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Not everyone did what was right before God. Not everyone did what was right in their service of God. Not everyone did what was right in their following what God wanted them to do and who God wanted them to be. Nope. Everyone did what was right and his own eyes. So there's an application here that I want to make sure that you don't miss this morning. No generation can live out another generation's commitments and promises. Your parents may have been believers. Your parents may have been committed church people. They may have drug you to church. They may have made you sit in children's church, and they may have put you in the nursery the moment you were born. And as soon as you walked out of the hospital with them, they walked you into church and put you in the nursery, and you've been in church ever since. Let me tell you something. You can't live for God. You can't serve God. You can't believe in Jesus as Savior based upon who your parents were and what they did. It's your individual commitment. It's your individual decision. I can't make that decision for you. You say, but wait a minute, Pastor, you're our pastor. You're right, but I can't make that decision for you. You can't make that decision for me. It's everyone's individual. No generation can live out another generation's commitments and promises. You know, if I had $5 for every time I heard somebody say to me, well, you know, I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm a good person because my great-grandfather was a Baptist preacher. My parents were in church every Sunday. And yeah, when I was younger, they drugged me to church. And if I had $5 for every time I heard that, I could retire. I could have retired many years ago. I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work that way. No generation can live out another generation's commitments and promises. At some point in time, each generation must make it their own. You might be sitting here this morning and you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I'm part of the older generation. Look at my gray hair. Okay. But what's your decision? What's the commitment that you made? And I know some of you with gray hair like mine, you've decided a long time ago that you were going to follow God, that you were going to trust God, that you were going to serve God. You made that choice. If you're here and you're middle-aged, have you made that choice? Because you can't make the choice of the generation in front of you. If you're here and you're a teenager, have you made that choice? Because you can't make the choice of the generation in front of you. If you're younger than a teenager, have you made that choice? Because you can't make it because of the choice of the generation that came ahead of you. No generation can live out another generation's commitments and promises. At some point in time, each generation has to make it their own. We all need to be challenged to make the choice, no matter what generation we belong to. Considering the times in which we now live, it's imperative that we make this decision now. What's the decision? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to do what? We're going to serve the Lord. Father, thank you for these lessons that you have let us learn as we've studied the book of Joshua and as we've come to Joshua chapter 24. And Father, this decision that Joshua challenged the Israelites to be able to make, to be able to serve the Lord with their whole house. Father, thank you for challenging us this morning with that same decision. And Father, may we consider strongly how we are going to accept that challenge. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Father, help us not to be like the Israelites, to lose sight of the commitment that we may be making to you this morning. Help us to enjoy all that it is that you have done for us. And Father, no matter what, help us to remain faithful to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song, please?
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God.
Next verse.
Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see, perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. Standing on the promises of God.
Next verse.
Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.